RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Let Kids Be Kids is an evolving New Zealand-wide grassroots network of people who ask questions, conduct research, focus on solutions, and support one another. Their goal is to inform parents and grandparents about what is going on in schools and elsewhere in regards to gender ideology and where issues appear to stem from. It aims to support those who are wanting answers and solutions and empower parents to reclaim their authority as their child's protector to ensure their happiness, liberty, safety, and well-being. Who couldn't agree with all of that? Anyway, joining us on the program right now is Penny Marie, one of the founders of Let Kids Be Kids, a background as an independent journalist. And I went to the Let's Kids Be Kids presentation in Lower Hutt last week, and I was quite, shocked at the information that they presented. So I thought I'd get Penny on to talk about her roadshow events around the North Island, and I'll tell you about those dates and times, venues, etc., a bit later on. And Penny Marie is with me right now. Hi, Penny. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good. It was great to see the Let Kids Be Kids meeting I attended in Lower Hutt just before the weekend. And I got to say, I thought I'd had my eyes opened, but they were only half opened. Now they're fully opened. I'm fully awake, and I'm still kind of got an aftermath from that. So are you surprised to hear me say that?
No, because it's kind of what everyone's saying. And it's a lot. I mean, it's a long time. It's a long time to sit in a room and listen to stuff, and it's a lot of information. So I think that's what happens is people take it away and they mull over it for a few days. So it's been quite humbling how impactful it's been for people.
What I found was the feeling I got left with is this is so thought out. The whole sort of on-ramping children to this ideology is so intricately kind of woven together. Yeah,
and they've been doing it for a long time. And I think, too, like the approach that we took of looking at where it's coming from internationally, you can overlay that strategy that they've done on any of the issues that people are looking at these days.
Yeah, okay, so I mean, we don't have too much time, and we certainly don't have the time we had at the meeting the other night. It was fascinating, by the way. So what is this RSE? Have I got that right? Keep hearing about in the school system. And what does that mean first? I know a lot of people already know, but for those who don't.
Yeah, so RSE stands for Relationship and Sexuality Education. And so the big sort of buzz around it is that the RSE guidelines that were given to all schools to implement relationship and sexuality education information into their classes. So that's the Ministry of Education's guidelines, but it's not what's actually going on in class. It's just the ministry's guidelines. Yeah.
What's going on in class then?
So what's going on in class is the actual learning content that teachers are choosing to show their kids, which meets the requirements that the government set out in the RSE guidelines. So it's not the actual curriculum itself, but the curriculum itself is another layer down, and that's what we show is the main one that now almost 50% of schools in New Zealand appear to be using is called Navigating the Journey by Sexual Wellbeing Aotearoa, which used to be family planning, but not all schools will be implementing it. There's other programs as well. However, they'll have similar content. And that's really where parents need to ask questions of their school of the actual content, because the RSE guidelines is just the curriculum sort of rules that the Ministry of Education have had, but then there's the content.
Do kids have to hear this? Is it compulsory to teach it? To be taught?
So the Ministry of Education RSE guidelines says that it is compulsory for all state schools. So the only schools that I'm coming across that aren't having it are some character schools, but not all of them. Some of them are doing it. And now we've got Erica Stanford kind of sort of backtracking on it, saying, well, it's not compulsory, but it was sent out as compulsory. And so if it's not now compulsory, we require her urgently to publicly state that to all principals that it's to be removed until they find a replacement.
She could have done that yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a big election conversation in the end, thanks to New Zealand First, and it should have happened prior to Christmas or before school went back. And now we're halfway through the year, and most schools have now run their RSE stuff through term two. So the kids have had another year of it, which is not okay, really.
What form does this material for teachers take? How would you generally describe it? Because it's quite detailed, but how would you generally describe the form it takes?
So the form that they run it in class, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, the guidelines for teaching this and the material, I guess, also that goes with that for the kids, how it's worded, how it's structured.
Yeah, so the teachers are told that they have to do a bunch of topics, and some of those topics are the ones that are really concerning around gender, challenging gender norms and putting a whole lot of stuff around gender words that aren't even scientifically correct. So there'll be some stuff in the curriculum which will be passable, and there'll be some stuff that is of a highly sexualized nature that parents would consider age inappropriate. And then there's the gender stuff, which isn't even scientific at all, no matter what age. So there's sort of that. And then the teachers are given and told what topics they need to cover. And then depending on what material they're using, it might take the form of videos, interactive activities, classroom discussions, paper, you know, quizzes and things like that. Yeah.
It seemed that the material that kids get, to me, it had more than the potential to undermine confidence in themselves as the very person they are. It kind of disconnects them from being an individual in a way.
Yeah, so we talk about what Elizabeth Cave, who talks with me, she talks about something called identity disruption, which kind of brings the conversation back to not being specifically even about gender, but what are they actually doing to interrupt a child's identity, which is a really important thing to start talking about, because if you start talking about it like that, then you can't be targeted as well as being all the names that they want to call us, because we're just questioning whether children even should be doing this. We send them to school to learn how to read and write and do math and get along with one another, and then there's now this real focus on who am I, what do I stand for, what do I identify as, and a lot of what they're identifying as, they're pointing to gender words that weren't even around a few years ago. They've made all of this up by the looks of it.
And what age groups are we talking about here?
Well, the RSE guidelines and the Navigating the Journey, which is one example of what we use, that's now coming in from 5 years old. So that'll be somewhere in the curriculum from 5 years old all the way up to high school. Whereas, you know, when we were all growing up, it was sort of intermediate and then a little bit more in junior high school.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It was a film about chickens, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah.
Oh, so innocent. But we kind of got the message. What are you hearing back from teachers? There must be teachers feeling incredibly uncomfortable about delivering this stuff in the class.
Some teachers are really defending it. They believe that this is what they should be teaching. And we don't get a lot of current teachers coming to our meetings. We get ex-teachers coming to our meetings who are horrified by what education seems to have become. And we talk to teachers who have come out of the system who are raising alarm bells of what they saw coming in like 10 years ago, the subtle shifts that were coming in a long time ago that have led to where we are today. Because it's been a frog in a pot. The stuff's been coming through for a long time. It hasn't just come in overnight.
Have you talked to principals? Have you heard from principals of schools? Do you know if they've been confronted by, or have you heard stories of them being confronted? And I wonder what their answers are.
Yeah, there's a real range. I mean, right from hearing that some principals are saying, hey, we need you parents to come and speak up now because we've done all we can to keep it at bay and we need the parents to help, right to principals that are actively not returning emails from parents and boards that are trying to not let parents come in to speak at their board meeting. So there's a real range, which is why at Let Kids Be Kids, we're really just all about empowering parents and giving them some tools to go in and and try and ask questions and get information out of schools, because they are required to tell us what's going on with the sex ed, because that's the part of the curriculum that we are allowed by law to opt our children out of. But right. There's a lot of parents out there too that are asking on behalf of all of the children and families who have no idea what's going on, because they have a duty of care to help those children and parents who don't know yet what's going on.
A couple of things I remember from your presentation. One was the Shortland Street Actors
yes.
Singing the praises, and also something called Beyond the Birds and Bees app. Yeah. First of all, that Shortland Street piece, it was a video kind of promotion. How do you feel about a thing like that when you see it? I feel very uncomfortable. And also using those actors who are New Zealand On Air funded.
That's right, to do yeah. that. I mean, it's a fiction, right? So it's a fiction, but it's being put into the classroom like it's a fact. That's a deep concern. But also it's the social conditioning of putting attractive, polished actors on a screen makes children believe it more, as well as, you know, children and young people believe what their teachers are telling them is true, even if their teachers are running a video that's by someone else. Big concern about the funding. And yes, the same videos that are being shown in school, and there are links to it from the Navigating the Journey resources, are the same videos that are on the Beyond the Birds and the Bees app. And you're talking things about consent, things about gender being fluid, things about masturbation, all sorts of things. And these are being pitched at sort of 13, 14-year-olds. So very advanced, sexualized content, and also very gender confusing.
We were still climbing trees. A couple quick questions to finish up. So can you just go through maybe bullet point style, what rights parents have? They can opt their children out, or the kids out of this.
Yeah, as per the Education and Training Act, Section 51, they can opt their child out of sex education if they want to. And my point around that is that they then need to know what it is, not just a bullet point list, but the actual content, so they're informed, and that's what parents are struggling to get. So I would just say to parents, you need to ask and come to our website at letkidsbekids.nz and get in touch. We're setting up regional groups to help parents quite rapidly. And any time that a school is secretive about anything, that's a red flag. And if it's about this topic, that's a double red flag. So as soon as a school doesn't want to answer questions, then there's something that they are not wanting to show the parent. And the parent needs to reclaim their authority as in the child's life. The school is not the boss here.
Neither is the state, right?
Speaking of the
state, we touched on it earlier, the coalition policy to remove RSE guidelines. How long, I mean, it should happen now, but how long is acceptable, do you think, before they slow the super tanker down and turn it around?
I think we're already past the deadline for what was acceptable, given that it was announced back last year and they had over the summer holidays. It would have been quite simple to have sent the principals of things just saying get it out until we've reviewed it. Yep. It's gone on for another year now, so the horse has bolted for another year of harm. And I haven't seen it in the list of priorities for Erica Stanford's focus on education.
All right, Penny Marie, founder of Let Kids Be Kids, thanks for coming on this morning, and it was a great presentation. I will, in the next break, tell people the dates and venues for the remaining presentations around the country, and hopefully, some of our listeners can get to those, give you some support, and find out what's going on. So,
yeah, thank you, Paul, and the video of it's about to come out too, so check out our website.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.